We're here in Sydney to say, stop the Tillagra juggernaut. But come here, look a farmer in the eye. Look a cow in the eye. Look a voter from a marginal seat in the Lower Hunter in the eye. We are all here. And what do we want to hear you say? Could you say, I will rethink the plan to flood more than 20 square kilometres of fertile, sustainably food productive farmland? Could we hear you say, I will rethink spending $500 million on a dam for a city that is already the water richest in the southern two-thirds of mainland Australia?
The environmental assessment report, you'll be told that Tillagra Dam is to be built from concrete, spree, and from rock fill. Like so much else in the environmental assessment report, that in and of itself is a lie. This dam is not going to be built from solid materials. This dam is built firmly on lies. It's built firmly on myths. It's built firmly on the idea that political convenience runs way ahead of that which is needed for a successful environment and a successful community. It is simply and completely untrue to say that Tillagra is required to survive the next drought. I don't need to remind you that the Lower Hunter has not had water restrictions since 1980. 30 years, in that 30 years, Sydney has had water restrictions three times. When Tillagra Dam was announced, here in Sydney, we were on level 3B water restrictions. In the Hunter, people were still hosing down their front pathways.
Carol Pazinow is chairperson of the No Tillagra Dam Group. Her family have been dairy farming in the area for five generations.
Environmentally, it will impact greatly on the Williams River. We've done a survey of approximately 22 platypus colonies in the river itself. There are mussels in the river that are rare species. It's also going to affect the fisheries further down when you get down towards the Newcastle, because the Williams feeds into the Hunter River, which then feeds into the Newcastle Ocean. So that it's going to affect the fisheries, the prawn industries. And it also may have diverse impact on the wetlands at Kooragang and Shortland. And the federal government actually has controlled action on that at the moment to assess what damage it will do to the wetlands.
These are actually Ramsar World Heritage listed wetlands.
They are, yes.
Do you see as that being some kind of avenue of recourse to try and get the federal government to make a decision on this project so as those wetlands will not be affected and therefore not have a dam?
Yeah, we're definitely hoping the Commonwealth Government will step in that regard. What's happening at the moment is the Hunter Waters application has actually gone to the Department of Planning. If it's approved, it will then go to the Commonwealth Government to assess the impact on the wetlands.
One of the main reasons that Hunter Water Corporation is using to justify this dam is the threat of drought in the region. Does it feel like you're in any level of drought?
The Hunter region itself has 80% water storage at the moment. The climate change data that we are getting from independent people are saying that the rain will not decrease over the next 10, 20 years, so that shouldn't affect our storage levels much. There are many different alternatives to harvest water or recycle water other than building a large dam. The Hunter hasn't been on water restrictions for over 30 years. So, you know, there definitely isn't a great need for this glut of water that they're looking at with Tillagra Dam. The Hunter Waters record for recycling water is very poor when you compare it to other states. I think Melbourne and Queensland, I'm pretty sure it was, is 30% recycled water that they use, where Hunter Water is only using 8% at the moment. If we went on to Sydney Water has adopted water-saving methods like rebates on their washing machines, water tank rebates. If Hunter Water used that, it would conserve our water.
Are you currently being billed for the Tillagra Dam on your water bill?
Dungog itself isn't being billed quite the same as what the Newcastle region is. Newcastle region, I believe, are paying about a $30 per year for Tilligra Dam, which we have had advice from legal sources that this is unlawful. They're charging for something that hasn't actually been approved yet, which seems very peculiar.
Has there been much communication or consultation with Hunter Water Corporation, particularly, for example, what's happening with Hunter Water Corp's threats and moves to compulsorily acquire land for the dam?
Okay, well, the whole process with the Tilligra Dam proposal has been backward, really. It was announced before it's been approved or any assessments or environmental impacts or any actual need for alternative was done on it. So the whole consultation process has been in the reverse. Instead of consulting with, you know, the Hunter people what they wanted to pay for in regards to their water security for the future, what they wanted to, you know, environmentally pay for, the Hunter people have never been properly consulted on that. As for the compulsory acquisition, when the announcement was made, it was basically, we were told that if we didn't sell our property, they would compulsorily acquire it. And this threat hung over our heads for quite a few years. We had to find our own information to find out that until it was actually approved, they couldn't compulsorily acquire the land. But the threat has always been there.
And how many residents in your area have sold under this belief?
There is only a few landholders left in the area. Most of them sold out basically straight away because they really did believe the dam was a done deal. And if they didn't, they were going to lose out with compulsory acquisition.
Institute of Sustainable Futures Research Director Dr. Simon Fain has authored three reports, each commissioned by the Wilderness Society in Newcastle, to challenge the figures used by Hunter Water Corporation to justify this project. This includes drought sequences that exclude a water desalination plant as a backup water plant by repeating the worst individual drought year on record, 4 years in a row, and saying the Hunter would run out of water before the plant could be built. Dr. Simon Fain.
This current report is basically a response to Hunter Water's response to our report. So it's a bit of a long process, but they have not dealt with the fundamental issue that the dam is not justified and is not needed at this time.
Could you talk through some of those flawed figures about how Hunter Water has downgraded water supply and inflated demand?
Hunter Water has basically introduced a new criteria into the way they calculate the yield from the existing system. That's the amount of water that can be taken every year from the system. Before the dam was announced, it was considered to be 90 gigalitres per year. And after the dam was announced, over a year after that, they introduced this new criteria, which downrated the system to less than 67 gigalitres per year. And current water demand in the Lower Hunter is in fact around that 67 gigalitres per year and has been dropping for the last 30 years. So the problems with this new criteria is that it basically introduces a number of assumptions that are arbitrary and untested, including using a repeat drought sequence, for example, where they just repeat the worst drought on record over and over and over again, as well as assuming that they would only ever be willing to trigger their drought plan every 100 years. So these are quite specific, detailed assumptions that are embedded within their calculation.
So
it's quite complex hydrology, and that's part of the problem, is that they've introduced this very complex criteria without testing the assumptions within it. And they've introduced this complex criteria after the decision, and this complex criteria becomes the rationale for building the dam.
So after the decision to build the dam in order to justify it?
Well, that's not how they would put it. They would say they've introduced it to make sure they have no chance of running out of water. But in the process of defining what never running out of water means, they're assuming a number of flawed things. I guess the other flawed assumption they have within that criteria is that it would take them 4 years to build a desal plant in the Lower Hunter, The Sydney desal plant, for instance, took 30 months to build, and it's a much, much larger and more complicated desal plant.
There's been quite a lot of media lately about coal mining and the impacts on health in the Hunter.
Mm.
And here is the last healthy river in the whole Hunter region, with heritage listed and protected wetlands at the end of the river. And you're saying that the figures that Hunter Water is using to justify the building of this dam are false or projected in a way that are misleading. It is such a scandal. So what process has allowed this proposal to continue?
These processes are the existing Part 3A planning assessment process, which basically means that there's no access to legal recourse. So the government is the proponent and the decider. The other problem or issue with process is that IPART, who are the Independent Pricing and Regulatory Tribunal, were directed by the New South Wales government not to look at whether this dam was in fact justified. And so that has meant that the ratepayers in the Lower Hunter are already paying for the dam, despite the fact it hasn't been approved. The arguments that have been used have changed over time, since the announcement for the dam was made by Premier Yemmer in the run-up to the last state election. It was announced, and at the time it was announced, the focus was on supplying water for the Central Coast. The Central Coast has now got its own augmentation, so the focus has shifted from the Central Coast, and the reasons that are being given are to supply projected growth in population in the Lower Hunter, as well as to provide drought security for that population. When we've looked at the modelling, it is obvious that it is possible through demand management and other water conservation measures to keep water demand below the level of 90 gigalitres per year to at least 2050. The existing environmental impact assessment has completely ignored what may be very significant greenhouse impact from methane emissions from the storage, and the response to our concerns about those greenhouse gas emissions has just ignored them once again.
Are you personally in favour for a desalination plant over this dam?
I'm in favour of getting ready to build a desalination plant and being prepared to build it, but the chance of actually having to build it would be less than once in every 600 years. So if you get ready to build it and you have the planning in place to build it but don't build it because you don't need the water, it's just a drought security measure, which is what the Sydney desal plant was supposed to be, then you have the best of both worlds because you haven't actually got a desalination plant and you're not using desalinated water, but you have drought security.